afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through this crisis. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. It's the Jason Rant Show. We're live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours left to do it. Some controversy surrounding Drew Brees. We'll tell you why. Spokane man, just 20 years old, decides to step up and stop looters. Plus, we hear from a Snohomish teenager who kind of got sucker punched by an adult during one of the peaceful protests. We're going to get into that and talk about what in the world is going on here. What in the world is going on? This hour of the Jason Rant Show is brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home, so let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
So Drew Brees is a quarterback with the Saints.
Hey, you got that right.
I knew that before looking at my notes.
Wow.
This is an individual I've heard of. I don't know if he's any good.
Very good.
He's the best. I mean, that's what I was about to say.
He's like top three.
He's top three. He's an outstanding quarterback. Everyone says Drew Brees, he knows what he's doing, except when it comes to giving his opinion on a controversial topic. Now, in any other context, this wouldn't necessarily be controversial. If he said what he said to Yahoo Business a month ago, it wouldn't be controversial. But it is in the context of what's happening right now and what happened to George Floyd, as athletes are now coming forward and saying, see, Colin Kaepernick was right. You guys owe him an apology for getting on his case for kneeling during the national anthem. And so Drew Brees was asked about that. I don't know why Drew Brees is doing an interview with Yahoo Finance. That makes no sense to me.
Not a clue.
It wasn't Yahoo Sports. I double-checked. I was like, wait, Finance? Okay. But he got into some hot water.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
Now, there is nothing wrong with that answer. There isn't. But people are upset because he didn't decide to say, you know what, Colin Kaepernick was right. And so folks are coming out to the point where he's had to apologize. Seems to me that people don't seem to be taking that apology at heart. They're not respecting it. They're rejecting it flatly.
Yeah, nobody thinks it was a great apology.
And part of this is because of, and it's really funny because I literally just retweeted something from Noah Rothman in front of the show talking about a book that everyone should read right now. It's called The Coddling of the American Mind. And it's very much about how, and in fact, here's the subtitle, how good intentions and bad ideas are setting up a generation for failure. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that people don't want to ever be questioned or challenged. And part of that, I kind of understand. There is a good portion of folks who are very passionate about all sorts of topics, not just this one, but all sorts of topics. And when you get really, really passionate, you sort of tend to entrench yourself a little bit. Now, I'm passionate about a whole bunch of topics. I personally do not care when people say they disagree with me. You can disagree with me on literally anything. I don't mind. But some people will tell you, wrong time and place, don't even question us. And that's really what we've been hearing, and it's become an us versus them. In fact, Steven Jackson, a former NBA player who was on CNN, he tore into Drew Brees, and he really said it was about us versus them.
As intelligent as Drew Brees is.
By the way, is he all that intelligent? Is that what he's known for?
I mean, he's a smart football player. He can break down defenses incredibly well.
I don't like it when people say, you know, for as smart as this person was, he said something stupid. Was he really smart?
I mean, he knows Drew Brees on a personal level.
Okay.
How is he still that naive? Like, all that's going on, all the protests, and you still don't understand why Kaepernick kneeled, has nothing to do with the flag.
Okay. But he still chose to do it during the national anthem. And whether or not you see what everyone sees who takes a position that it was disrespectful is not material. They're arguing two separate things. And I remember at the time, because I was saying, look, there's not anyone out there who's all like, I like police brutality. No one is taking that position. People believe police brutality is disgusting when it happens. The question is, does it happen as much as some folks say it happens? And I think that's something that we can literally look at. There's data that's collected, and I think it's worthy, it's instructive to look at that kind of data and have a bigger conversation and hear each other out. But you can still agree with a message or a general message while also disagreeing with the method in which the message is delivered. Colin Kaepernick was wearing at one point socks depicting cops as pigs. Now, I find that offensive. I find that divisive. I say that sends the wrong message. He referenced cops along the same lines as slave traders. I think that's wrong. Now, will I agree with parts of what Colin Kaepernick or anybody else says? Yeah, sure. Of course. I don't think anyone should say that person is always wrong. 100% of the, what do you mean 100% of the time? What if they like the Beatles? Like, let's get push all the politics aside. You know, we all acknowledge, and he just acknowledged, Drew Brees is a smart guy. Is it possible Drew Brees agrees with something that you agree with and vice versa? Probably. This whole idea that we're just going to reject something completely because you don't like one aspect of a conversation that was made, I don't know if that brings people together. I'm told we're supposed to be united right now. In fact, that's what people are yearning for. That's what people are yearning for, unity. Getting together. Pushing aside some petty differences and coming up and having some good conversations that lead to meaningful results that everyone can get behind. But when you decide to simply say, I'm pushing you aside because this one instance, you disagreed with Colin Kaepernick on this point when I agree with him. Okay, you're part of the problem. With respect, that's part of the problem. We are supposed to be able to have open conversations. And if we're at the point where we're now going to bully people into submission, that goes against everything this country stands for. I thought we were supposed to have free speech. The kind that right now the protesters are trying to enjoy outside of the Antifa agitators and all the others. They have the right to that speech. But they're not the only ones with that right. No one should ever take the position that everything they say is sacrosanct and never, ever, ever is worthy of questioning. That's a dangerous position to be in.
Like, I don't, like, Drew Brees is an intelligent guy, but he looked real.
By the way, the bleep that we did for someone who's about to, you know, sort of woke scold Drew Brees, he used the R word, which you're not supposed to use. And that's been like a long, that's 5 years, 10 years in where you're not supposed to use that.
Oh, at least 10 years.
Right. So just FYI.
Saying that the time is sensitive. Okay. You can't say that right now. That's the equivalent to me saying when JFK got killed, that's the equivalent to me saying, well, he wasn't black, so I don't care.
I don't understand that point. That one, I honestly don't understand. I was trying to figure it out. I know what he's essentially trying to say here, which is there's a time and place. And I think that's a valid point. You can say, look, there's a time and place for these kinds of comments. But I also think you have to look at whether or not a comment was delivered with a good faith effort at having a conversation or a bad faith. Was it a good faith comment or a bad faith one? Was it done intentionally to provoke? Or was it someone who was well-intended, trying to make a point about why, in one instance, they didn't quite back everything that one individual did? And I think there's value to operating in that way. When I disagree with someone and someone hits me up on Twitter, I look immediately and I see whether or not it's a good faith attack or a bad faith one. If it's good faith and they want to actually debate me on something, I'll have a conversation with them. I prefer more of that on Facebook, but fine, we do it on Twitter. If it's someone, hey, a-hole, and then they rip into me, that's bad faith. And I'm not going to have a conversation with that. But I do think we should at least understand a perspective, even when we disagree with it, just see at least where they're coming from. And maybe that means we have better conversations at the end of this.
It's the same thing. If you're not with us, if you're not standing on the side of right, then obviously you are the problem, or you are part of the problem. It's no more straddling the fence. We can't accept that. There's no more straddling the fence. Either you're with us or you're against us. And obviously, by his comment, he's not with us. But I love the fact that his teammates stood up and spoke because they know him best. But we can't. We're not tolerating for that no more. Either with us or against us.
With us or against us. With us or against us on what? Because I'm with you when you say George Floyd was murdered, and that cop needs to go to jail, and the three others need to go to jail. I'm with you on that. And there was unity behind that. Every single person who saw that video, every single person said it was disgusting, disturbing, and illegal. So I'm with you on that. But am I going to be with a movement that includes people who are speaking very loudly that all cops are pigs? No, I'm not going to side with you on that. And you have to understand that. Not because we have a major disagreement concerning George Floyd. We don't. We have none whatsoever. At least I don't. Derek Chauvin, this cop from Minneapolis, he should be in jail. He should be charged. Oh, he is, and he was. And now he should go through the process. And I have faith in the process, so long as they're not trying to change going from murder three to murder two just to placate protesters, because that's a tricky strategy. Because you got to be able to prove in court that they committed murder two under the Minnesota law, right? And if the data backs up murder two, go for it, and keep him in jail and prosecute him. He murdered a man, an innocent man. But it's not us versus them. It's not with us or against us. And when you talk about things in that way, it tells me that you don't want to have any conversations. And then you're not going to get anywhere. Because if you're unwilling to actually sit down and talk to someone about any topic, literally any topic, you're not going to go anywhere. Because you know what? This is a country that's built on a foundation of laws that in a lot of ways have been created because of compromise, because of hearing the other side, because they said, you know what, I disagree right now, tell me why I'm wrong. And then they had conversations, and then you move people over. That's how you win arguments. That's how you win movements. You convince people that they were wrong. When you look specifically, for example, at gay rights in this country, they started to shift the attitudes. At one point, all gay people were immoral and disgusting and perverted and all of these things. And then you had conversations with gay individuals. Then we told you, whoa, what? Let's have a conversation about this. And it took some time, but man, there was a huge shift. Where it wasn't just about someone who was in power passing a law, it was a societal shift in thinking. And that came because we were allowed to have conversations and people were open to having conversations. And that was what Tony Dungy. He's a coach.
Yeah, very good. Well, he used to be a retired coach.
Now he's on a TV show.
Yeah, ESPN.
That thing. ESPN. He was on with, well, I don't know, yeah, there's a YouTuber by the name of Pat McAfee who used to be a punter, I guess.
Pat McAfee, and he's a very good podcaster. He's very funny.
He used to be on the Colts.
He was, yes.
Well, that was in my notes. But Tony made a really interesting point.
We have to have Drew Brees. Sam, what he said, I don't downgrade Drew for that, okay? That's what he said. He may not totally understand. It may have been not exactly the way he wanted to express it, but he can't be afraid to say that. And we can't be afraid to say, okay, Drew, I don't agree with you, but let's talk about this and let's sit down and talk about it. We can't just say anytime something happens that we don't agree with, hey, I'm done with that and I'm done with this person. And that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And you don't even grow as a person. I love being challenged. And maybe that's just my weirdness. I like people challenging me. I like people challenging me because when people challenge me and they get me to think, I either become a stronger participant in the debate on my side. I become more entrenched in my idea because you challenge me and I thought about it. And you're like, no, I am right. Here's why. Or the opposite. I change my mind. Or I start to see things a little bit differently. But we're in a position now where we've got so many people who are unfortunately looking for reasons to attack people. And again, that means we are not united. That means we are not united. And if we're not united, you're not going to see societal change. We're at a point where a woman was driving in a car and she witnessed three white women who, according to the context of this clip, worked for the federal government. A federal building was defaced with graffiti that said BLM. Now, the woman driving the car, who's videotaping this, she supports the Black Lives Matter movement. The women who are cleaning off the graffiti apparently also support the movement. But they took it down because it was graffiti. And listen to how this went down.
Why are you guys removing Black Lives Matter's graffiti?
We're just trying to take care of it. Yeah, we tried over there and it wasn't coming off. It's still one of those coming off.
But why do you want that to come off?
Well, I don't. This is a federal building.
Yeah, it's just a vandalism.
But so you don't care about Black Lives then?
Not at all. That's not at all.
That's what this...
Certainly do care about Black Lives.
Not enough to leave up a message.
No, you don't disagree with the message, ma'am. It's just on the building. We're just trying to clean it.
Great. Not a great way to use your white privilege, ladies. Not a great... That's disgusting.
Okay, now it's racist to clean up graffiti. You are abusing your white privilege? That makes no sense. And you know what? I was downtown in Seattle, where people of all backgrounds, be it racial or gender, be it religious, they were there and they were cleaning off the graffiti. And these were people, some of whom had signs on their body saying Black Lives Matter, but they were still cleaning it up because we don't go around tagging our property. That has nothing to do with white privilege. It has nothing to do with white privilege. What if someone tagged your car with a message that they agreed with? And maybe you do too. In fact, let's go on. Let's lean in. You agree with it. You might still get your car painted over. You might still take off the graffiti. Even if you agreed, wouldn't you want to take it off? Or are you okay with now we can just start spray painting stuff? I'll spray paint your car. I like puppies. But using her argument, if she were to say, oh, so you hate puppies? I thought everyone loved puppies. No, I like puppies. I just don't like that you did this to my car. Exactly. The fact of the matter is they took off the graffiti because that's what it was. It was graffiti. And to be accused of benefiting from white privilege from taking off graffiti? If they were putting the graffiti on and they got caught and no one was all like, oh, okay, we're fine with it because you ladies are white. Okay, fine. Call that out. I'll call that out. This is absurd, and people are looking for a reason to tear each other down. And for what? Seriously, for what? What is the benefit of that? That's what I struggle to try to understand here. Like, what do you benefit from scolding someone from taking off graffiti? What's the benefit? And then posting it online as if you're a hero. And we talked about it yesterday. And the more I thought about this video, the more it started to hit me. I wonder if this is one of those progressive activists in that camp, in that subset of progressives, that take positions and do things like this to shine a spotlight on their wokeness, not actually participating in a process that forwards a positive agenda. The folks who don't really care about any of this, they care about themselves. There's a group of people who believe that. It happens on the right and on the left. People who take positions just for the sake of taking a position so they look good. And I'm sure that when she posted this video online, she thought she looked good. Look at me tearing down the white privilege. You didn't tear down white privilege. You tore down three women who were trying to protect a piece of property to keep it clean. Unless we're now going to say all messages should be put up. Okay, how about this? What about the message that you do not agree with that has been spray painted on the side of a building, but other people do? Who is the arbiter in a situation like this of what stays and what goes? Who's the arbiter of that? We talked about on this show back in February, and I believe maybe it started in late January, about all of the Jews who were being beat on the streets of New York and New Jersey. That annoyed me. That angered me. That frightened me as a Jew, but also as an American, where we shouldn't be targeted because of our religion, just simply surviving, walking down the street. Now, this progressive activist probably didn't say anything, because you know what? A lot of progressive activists didn't say anything at that point. But let's say there was some movement associated with it that included a whole bunch of graffiti. And someone wanted to take it down. Does that mean we don't value Jewish lives? No. It means we have respect for private property and public property. It's really that simple. It really is. And I don't want one individual or even a small group of individuals determining what content is or is not appropriate. Because imagine the power to censor in the hands of your worst enemy. Greg Lukianoff told me that. You know who Greg Lukianoff is, Producer Peyton?
I don't.
He is the author, ironically, of the book, The Coddling of the American Mind, which we talked about at the beginning. Full circle, my friend.
Full circle.
Greg Lukianoff told me back in 2004, and it's funny because every time I tell him he told me this, he said, I did? I don't remember saying that at all. He said, imagine the power to censor in the hands of your worst enemy. And I want you to think about that as we take this break. Imagine the power to censor in the hands of your worst enemy. Now put it into context with what this progressive activist is saying, yelling, scolding at someone for cleaning up graffiti. Well, what if right now you did not have the power that you have right now to scold these folks? Would you be okay with that if the message was the opposite? I wouldn't. The IRS is increasing the number of officers in Washington state, and if you owe money, they're going to come for you. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact your local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. When we come back, the most heartbreaking clip I think I've ever heard. And it's simple. It's about 8 seconds long, and it's kind of got me thinking in a way that I haven't thought about in a while. We're going to get into that when we come back right here on the Jason Rand Show.
Kent, Olympia, Everett, Sammamish.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Sumner, Woodinville, Des Moines.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, where we ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Spokane, where something happened that is awesome. This is a good story. And I think we can use some good stories, stories of people who act out in the best interests of their cause. Isaiah Dunn is just 20 years old, and he was partaking in a peaceful protest. But then he saw some people deciding to turn it into a riot, turn it into looting. The kind of folks that don't represent the vast majority of the protesters. He saw some folks breaking into the Nike store. The Nike store. We do know that Antifa, for example, and anarchists, they have a thing against Nike. Specifically Nike. They're targeted a lot. So he decided to say something. Because as he told KHQ TV out of Spokane, as he saw what was going on, he felt sick. Because this is not what he wanted to be a part of. This is not what he signed up to do. And it was a group of outsiders who were instigated.
And then we came up down where the Nike store is at. And I was like 20 feet away. And then I saw the rock or object go through the window. And it just kind of broke my heart because that is not why we were there. We were not there to start looting and rioting and going crazy in the streets. We were there as a peaceful protest. And I said that yesterday, Oliver, before I showed up to the protest. I was like, we need to come together as a city and show that we can do this peacefully. And what really broke my heart is that it wasn't our fault. Like, it was confirmed that it wasn't the peaceful protesters. Everyone who was there yesterday for the peaceful protest knows that that was not us. And it broke my heart to see that we should not be just going crazy.
I'm glad he recognized the dangers of people who try to co-opt movements for their own either selfish reasons, ideological reasons, or just to be opportunistic. I'm glad that he felt the need to push back and say something. So he jumped into it. He was yelling at them to stop. And now as a result, he's being called a hero.
I mean, it was crazy. Everyone's saying, like, I'm a hero and everything. But, like, I just felt like that was the right thing to do. Like, we shouldn't, like I said, like, I keep saying that. We should not be doing that. It was a peaceful protest. And and within 5 seconds it went sideways. And then 3 minutes later, right after the store got looted, tear gas canisters were flying right by my friends and over people's heads, and everyone was put in danger within 3 minutes. And it's crazy.
It was crazy, but it was done by outside agitators. Outside agitators decided to get involved, and they're the reason why we're seeing so much violence, not the cops. The cops are not the ones who are engaging in the violence for no reason. They are intervening because there are very specific bad faith actors taking advantage of a movement that should have kept us united, but now is dividing us because of this violence. And we need more people like Isaiah to step up and say they do not represent us. We've played you so much audio over the course of last week of individuals standing up and saying, don't spray paint that. Don't destroy that business. That's not what we want. You're doing it because you want to do it. But you're not doing that for us. You're not doing that for the movement. And I am so glad every time we hear and see people stepping up and saying, no, you're not going to take this over. And the more of that we have, I guarantee you, the more peaceful protests we will have. The people who are agitators, the people who are stepping forward and doing this kind of stuff, they're not going to win. I know there are growing calls to defund police coming from a lot of activists on the farther part of the movement to the left. While I am alarmed at that, and they're going to have some wins, they had a win today in Los Angeles, I'm not as concerned because I know that most people understand who's creating this violence. And I don't think this country is turning against cops. I think a large portion of an activist class who have always hated cops or despised cops or distrusted cops, I think they're there, and we need to push that back, that message down. We need to engage with that. But when I see stories like this, I feel so much better because it just reminds us that the folks in the crowd, they're not all there okay with this kind of nonsense. There's some folks who justify it, but not everybody. Now, speaking of Antifa, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. For those of you who missed it, we had John Kartak on the show. He's the mayor of Snohomish. Over the weekend and earlier in the week, Antifa decided to show up. There were posts online from Emerald City Antifa. They denied that the posts were theirs, but the posts indicated that they were going to show up to Snohomish and trash the town. Now, when they showed up, they got a little bit more than what they bargained for.
We identified up to 5 Antifa members that did show up, including a leader. What they saw let them know that, no, they're not going to burn this town down.
So a whole bunch of folks decided to show up. That was the mayor. To defend their streets, to defend their city. And law enforcement deemed these threats to be credible, and so they decided to stand up. But to be clear, there were also some troublemakers there on the right that I think we need to talk about. Some people are going to be upset. I'm okay with you being upset, but I do hope that we have a conversation at least. Because there were some folks there, supposedly from the Proud Boys group, that were causing problems. Because there was a moment this week in which there were teenagers there, not associated with Antifa, who are there marching. They get to do that. Now, some folks in the Proud Boys, maybe you don't like their message. You don't have to like their message. But when I see video online of an adult, a grown man, trying to pick a fight with some teenagers, what the hell is wrong with you? How is that appropriate? And I saw the video. And it seems very, very clear that the adult was the one who instigated it.
You know, I just saw somebody get punched, man, and I started running before I could even get anywhere, man. I had 2-3 people choking me.
So that's Julian Crawford. He lives in Snohomish. He was talking to King 5. And in the conversation, there was something that he said that I found to be particularly heartbreaking. I think part of it has to do with his age. It doesn't say how old he is. My guess from his voice, he's 16, 17, 18 maybe. He had his face covered because he was wearing a mask. He's clearly a young kid. And I want you to listen to the words that he said based on his experience, simply protesting, maybe for the first time, but simply engaging in his right to speech.
They hate me. You know, like I can't even walk peacefully, man. Like they hate me. They hate everything I stand for. And it hurts. I am very, very worried. You know, my mom's worried. Everybody's moms are worried, I'm sure. But we're stuck because we don't know what else to do.
Now, that's a kid who you should be able to have a conversation with. This is not a kid who should be saying this.
They hate me.
He feels like you hate him. And not you who was listening, but he thinks that folks on the right hate him. Is that what you want? To have some 16, 17, 18-year-old kid feeling? Because you know how we just had this conversation about coming together and having conversations and winning people over via debate, like having an actual conversation. When you show him that this is how he's going to be treated by Proud Boys, if in fact the individual who was doing the punching was a Proud, I don't know that, but he was a counter-protester, we do know that. Do you think he's ever going to want to come to the right? Do you think you're going to ever be able to win a debate with him and have him come on to our side and see things the way we see them? There were some folks there who had a Confederate flag. Now, when I originally posted the photo of the individuals in Snohomish who were there, and again, I believe that these people were part of the Proud Boys group, I didn't realize that there was a Confederate flag there. And so once someone pointed it out to me, and it did take me a long time to find, that was hard to find the Confederate flag in the photo.
It was.
And so I found it, and so I tweeted out. I said, just FYI, by the way, these individuals there had the Confederate flag. And some people hit me up on Twitter and said, so? What? Yeah, and? Why'd you point that out? I certainly concede that there is a cultural, non-racist intent behind some uses of the Confederate flag. Fine. This is Snohomish. This is not the South. When you bring a Confederate flag to a counter-protest to Black Lives Matter, whether you intend to or not, you are sending a message of hate. I understand not everyone agrees with me on that. That is my position. And I know that it feels to some folks like a symbolism of hate, because they say it.
They hate me.
They hate me. That's what he says. And I don't know how you listen to a clip like that and not get as angry as I'm getting, wanting to go after the Proud Boys and anyone else who decides to engage in this kind of behavior against a teenager. We get mad when Antifa gets involved. We should get mad. It is our duty to get mad, to want to change something when Antifa folks and anarchists decide to break the law to forward an ideology. We should also get mad when we've got Proud Boys or any group that's associated with them engaged in the same stuff, and we should get especially mad when they do it against a 16-year-old kid. Now, if it comes back and he's 32, I'm going to have a slightly different... No, I'm kidding. He looked young.
Yeah, it sounded young.
He sounds young. And I listened to this earlier, and it stuck with me. And I don't want to lose someone like this. I don't want to close off the conversation with someone who thinks we hate him. And even if it is Proud Boys and we're not members of the Proud Boys, it still is going to be seen as representative of the right. And I don't want that. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to weigh in. 1-800-465-8770. That is how you send me a text message. When we come back, speaking more of Antifa, there's actually more and more evidence to suggest they are, in fact, behind the violence that we're seeing. Not exclusively, but a lot. We're going to get into that when we return on The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Attorney General Bill Barr today spoke about the George Floyd murder. Today there was a memorial. And it was a different mood of a day so far, at least. We don't know if later tonight we're going to see more protests potentially turning violent. I certainly hope that we don't have to experience that for another night. Because the fact of the matter is, the Department of Justice is looking into this. And we know that in Minnesota, they've charged.
Our nation is now confronting two serious challenges to the rule of law. The first is a long-standing one, but was recently crystallized and driven home by the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The video of the police conduct in this episode, as I said before, is harrowing. When you watch it and imagine that one of your own loved ones was being treated this way and begging for their lives, it is impossible for any normal human being not to be struck to the heart with horror. This matter is being pursued by both the state and the federal government.
Now, it's important to underscore that, because when the protests started, there was some folks saying not enough was being done. But understand, this is not just going to happen overnight, but everything was done the right way. The president got involved immediately. The DOJ got involved immediately, saying that they were going to look into this, and it was expedited. And at the same time, they moved really, really quickly with the original charges against Derek Chauvin. I think we have to acknowledge that. Now, if you expect that you're going to get the result that you want within a few hours, that's not how the system works. And by the way, that's by design, because we want to make sure that people get treated fairly. We want to make sure that if you're ever in a position, you will be treated fairly. Now, I know that people aren't going to be patient with that, especially on something as disturbing and painful as this. I get it. But that is how the judicial system is supposed to work. That is how it's worked by design. And I'm confident that there's going to be justice served here.
Today is a day of mourning. And the day is coming soon, I am confident, when justice will be served. George Floyd's death was not the first of its kind, and it exposes concerns that reach far beyond this particular case. While the vast majority of police officers do their job bravely and righteously, it is undeniable that many African Americans lacked confidence in our American criminal justice system. This must change. Our Constitution mandates equal protection of the laws, and nothing less is acceptable. As the nation's leading federal law enforcement agency, the Department of Justice will do its part.
Imagine it wasn't Bill Barr that said that. Let's say it was Eric Holder. Would there be any outcry that he's not taking this seriously? No. Because Eric Holder was under the Obama administration, a Democrat. And I think it's very clear that there are a lot of folks who don't like President Trump, who don't trust President Trump. But the tone that he's had on this in this speech is appropriate. The message is one that people should be cheering on, saying, yes, you are hearing our concerns and you are addressing them. What some people I don't think want to hear in certain parts of the Democratic Party, certain parts really of the progressive movement, is that Antifa is responsible for a lot of the violence that we are seeing. And not just Antifa, but groups similar to them. And individuals who share the same anarchist or socialist political agenda.
We have evidence that Antifa and other similar extremist groups, as well as actors of a variety of different political persuasions, have been involved in instigating and participating in the violent activity. And we are also seeing foreign actors playing all sides to exacerbate the violence. The Department of Justice is working to restore order in the District of Columbia and around the nation. Here in Washington, we are working with the local police, the citizen soldiers of the National Guard, and other federal agencies to provide safety and justice.
There's more and more and more evidence coming forward that Antifa was responsible. Not in every single instance. For example, there was a case in Las Vegas of white supremacists trying to take advantage, and there was actually evidence, and they're being pursued. There's some people who do not want to believe that Antifa is responsible, in large part because they are focusing on what they think is the problem with Trump, rather than focusing on the problem right in front of us, rather than focusing on the violence. You have way too many people who have decided to blame the cops. And so I can't wait for more and more of this evidence to come forward, because the way some cops are being treated right now in cities all across the country, including here in Seattle, is shameful. You can believe that George Floyd was murdered and also believe that we shouldn't be attacking all of our cops or calling them all racist or calling for their death. That's too far, and it's not controversial to take both positions, that cop hating is wrong and George Floyd was murdered. They are not in conflict with one another. In Antifa, I know, they're fighting fascism. Just because they say they're fighting fascism doesn't mean they're fighting fascism. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. In fact, we're going to have a special guest, James Casey. He is a former member of the FBI who spent a lot of time researching and tracking both white supremacists and Antifa. He thinks he knows who's responsible for the violence. It's KTTA.